Good morning. Please take your Bibles out and turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4. In 1 Peter chapter 4, we'll begin reading here in verse 12 here in just a moment. I want to express, which you've heard, I'm sure, plenty of times from the pulpit, that you would be my friend if you ever hear anything that I say inconsistent with God's Word, and to certainly bring that to my attention. I will go one step further and be a little bit more abrasive and say you would be my enemy if you did not. So I am always open to understanding the Word of God as it's intended by God, not man. And so please, if at any time you hear me say something that isn't correct or that you would feel would contradict God's Word, then please bring it to my attention. And so having said that, we all have challenges being Christians. It is very, very difficult to be a Christian. That's just the facts. Jesus spoke of it. He says if they did it to Him, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, certainly it's going to happen to us. And over here in 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 12, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he's blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter." So, there's going to be challenges in our lives. And this morning, I'd like for you to consider five thoughts in regard to fighting the good fight of faith. Let me begin by telling you a story. As you can see, this is probably a strange title and a very unique picture. This is actually a picture of someone who's going through the BUDS training to become a SEAL. And there's a story told by a Rob O'Neill of an individual by the name of John, who is going through the same test as everyone else in his rank or going through this BUDS training, or not training, but it's really a testing to see if you can really withstand the pressure. And so this John has one more chance. You're only given so many chances to tie five knots. You're given a rope about 18 inches long, and you're told by the instructor what knot to tie. And so you dive down to the bottom of an Olympic-sized pool with a rope tied from one end to the other and 1 foot from the bottom of a 14-foot pool. You go down and you tie your knot. You give the signal. The instructor is watching. He jumps in. He goes down. And according to O'Neill, inevitably the first knot is never going to be correct. And they go, no, no good. And he goes back up to the surface, but you have to stay below water. And below the surface in the water. And so you tie the knot again, just like you did the first time. You give the signal. He jumps in and he says, that's good. Well, John is on his fifth knot out of five. If he does not pass, he is going to be kicked out of BUDS, and he will never be a SEAL. This is a lifelong endeavor of his, lifelong dream to be a SEAL. When he's tying his fifth knot, he drowns. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 3, "You therefore must endure hardships
as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one entangled in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. We have got to stay focused. We have to stay on task as Christians. We cannot put ourselves in a situation, if you will, and disregard that we're a Christian. That never happens, not whether you're in the home, in the workplace, whether you're in leisure. It doesn't matter when or where you are. We must always remember that we are soldiers of Jesus Christ. We sometimes want to compartmentalize ourselves. And what I mean by that is when we're hanging out with the guys, if we say a little curse word every now and then, well, you know, everyone does. When I was teaching out at the prison, I was teaching a class where it was full of just individuals. But there was one member of the church there within the prison that was a Christian. And he used the word hell, but he just used it in a flippant way, right? As I keep on thinking if I just try again, it'll pop out. But I want to say a superlative. Yeah. Anyways, you know what I'm trying to say. I'll just go ahead and sit down, and y'all can just read my mind for the rest of the sermon, right? Anyways, I looked at Robert, and I really kind of went, really? And so later on, after class, I asked him about it. He says, "Well, everyone curses. I mean, it's prison, right?" No. No. You know, 10 out of 10 people die. It's a serious matter in which the walk that we have with the Lord. We have got to fight the good fight. We can't ever put our guard down. We can't ever wave the white flag and take a siesta. In Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 3, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation does what? Tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. The only way we're going to have hope in Christ is if we build character. The best way to build character is to go through some tribulation. To be tested. I'm a big believer. I haven't done it in years because I just get too much pushback. But if I'm a teacher of a class, I believe in giving tests. And people say, "I haven't been in high school or I haven't been in college for 20 plus years." But you know, the Lord tests us all the time. Now, it may not be a written test of the material we just studied for the last 3 months. But we're going to be tested. And I hope that you are being tested. Because that's part of our proof of walking with the Lord. And we've got to endure the hardships that come upon us and not escape them. Not kind of go with the crowd so that we don't have this tribulation placed upon us. Because through this tribulation, being tested, that's where we really show our character, and therefore we have hope in the end. And so we glory in it. We look forward to the tests. So keep tying the knots. Keep tying the knots by enduring the hardships. Secondly, it is by God's grace that we are who we are. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul shares some insight in regard to his personal life. Something that you and I probably can't really relate to, considering all that he had to endure, that he mentions over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And you know that he prayed 3 times that the thorn of his flesh would be removed. He didn't want to go through this test, if you will, or this hardship, this tribulation anymore. He wanted some relief, but he was also reminded by the Lord the benefits of having going through such difficulties. And so Ultimately, in verse 9, Jesus says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." When we think that we're doing it all on our own, we need a wake-up call to realize that it is by God's grace, and it's through His grace, His mercy, in which we are able to continue. And so his conclusion is, therefore, in verse 9, "Most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure." Is he crazy? "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake." Not because you're an evildoer, but for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You see, our endurance to make it through those difficult times, through that tribulation, through those hardships, is by the grace of God. And when you feel like you just can't take another step, that's where the Lord's strength certainly needs to step in and take over, if you will. That we can go further than we ever thought we could. Think about Caleb. For those of you who are a little up in your years, he's 85 years old. He's helped conquer on the other side of the Jordan. He's now ready to fight his battle with the Lord for his territory. He's 85 years old. The territory in which he's going to conquer is mountains. Not only is it mountains, which is already a challenge, right? They're fortified cities. And third of all, those who live there are descendants of Anak. Giants. We need to be Calebs with this mentality in Joshua chapter 14 and verse 12. "It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord has said." Caleb wasn't afraid to keep tying the knots, to keep being challenged, to still continue. He wasn't ready to rock his years away on the front porch, hang up his gloves, his boxing gloves, his fighting gloves. No, he was ready at every point to keep on serving the Lord. And we need to be those kinds of people that never quit, that we keep tying knots. Third, through this all, we need to be thankful. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let thanksgiving," or excuse me, "with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You see, sometimes when we think that the battle is just too much, it's too uphill, we just can't take another step, we want to wave the white flag and somewhat surrender for a period of time, we need to remember that God has gotten us this far. That we haven't done it alone. That we are thankful. We're certainly not proud that we did it. But that through these hardships, through these difficulties, God has showered us with grace. He has showered us with mercy. I'll bring a lesson on those two terms. You know, what's the difference between grace and mercy? Grace is what we receive that we do not deserve. Mercy is not receiving what we do deserve. When you get pulled over by a police officer because you've been speeding and you are guilty, you beg for mercy because we deserve the ticket. And I hope that you can see God's grace, that none of us deserve what the Lord has done for us through the years, to carry us through these difficult times. And we're thankful. We're thankful while we're going through it. Romans 5. We have joy in tribulation. We take pleasure in the infirmities, as Paul said a while ago, because we know that's how we grow stronger. That's how we get our true character. We build that perseverance, the endurance, and we have hope in the end. Sometimes we might think it's just too stressful, but we're putting that upon ourselves. Certainly don't take that stress and put it on someone else's shoulders. In Galatians chapter 6, it talks about that. We're to bear one another's burdens, but then a few passages later, it's not going to be on the overhead. He says in verse 4, but let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for each one shall bear his own load. There are some things that you're just going to have to bear on your own. But do it with thanksgiving unto the Lord, through the good times and the bad. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, we'll begin in verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Our walk with the Lord is not a burden. And even when it is difficult and it's hard, and we're tying the knots and we're about to take a breath underwater, we keep tying the knots. The Lord is there to help us. And so we can't get lazy. We have to strive for perfection. And I'm not trying to say that there's some pedestal in which people have arrived. And I'm certainly not trying to put the goal so lofty that none can achieve it. But over in Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 12, and it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish the men who are settled in complacency, who say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, nor will He do evil. You see, oftentimes, we are the ones to wave that white flag. Now, not completely where we're going to walk away from the Lord. We just want to take a sabbatical. Just give me a little time off. But our walk doesn't work that way with the Lord. We've got to keep on fighting. We've got to keep on keeping on. Sometimes, and it may be the number one cause of complacency, is success. What if we had 25 conversions in the last year? Would we go, okay, we're good for a little while? You remember the man, you'll find in my sermons that they'll kind of overlap, so we might be talking about this next week. But you remember the man who had just a bumper crop? And he says, ah, I finally made it. We talked about that last week too. So what is he going to do? Eat, drink, and take his ease. He gets to retire. There's no retirement in this life from serving the Lord. Zero. We have got to keep on saying, I can be better. I can serve the Lord in this way. You know, maybe we change. Anyone kind of second question yourself jumping out of the back of a truck? Anyone? Do you remember when you would jump out of the back of a truck? Wouldn't even think about it? We change. And we may change in regard to our service to the Lord and how we serve Him. And maybe I'm not able to do what I once was able to do, but I can still do something. And so we change. But we're always changing for the better. Notice over in Psalm 119, it's not on the the slide, but in Psalm 119 and verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. That means sometimes we just kind of get off that beaten path. Sometimes we're just not laboring in the Lord like we ought to. And we are chastised for it. We're corrected by the Lord, which would coincide with Hebrews chapter 12. And so then the conclusion is, but now I keep your word. In verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. No one wants to be corrected, but you see, we're striving for perfection.
We do realize, even though I've never been in the military, I wanted to, it didn't happen. But we do understand, don't we, that there are some elite in the military? That a Navy SEAL has gone through some training that others were not willing to subject themselves to or just had no desire? But these are people who step up and put their life on the line every day. They've got to keep tying the knot. See, that's part of the pressure of this bud's training, is to see how far you'll go.
Are you going to ring the bell and get your donuts? No more cold water. No more sand in places that you didn't know existed. No more torture. Brethren, we signed up to be tortured like our Lord. That's a hard pill to swallow. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not only that, I have already attained, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, Paul writes, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What's the number one enemy of success? Complacency. Well, I did this and I did that in my past, and so therefore I'm good. I can take my ease. No. You keep tying the knots, keep improving, keep striving for true completeness, perfection. And so ultimately what we're going to do is we're going to produce fruit. Understand that there's difficulties in our walk with the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24 we begin, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize?" You don't remember the runner-up. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. For everyone competes for the prize is temperate in all things, patient in all things, keeps fighting. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, not just kind of going with the flow, just taking it one day at a time, but setting goals, achieving, if you will. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. You see, discipline isn't just to abstain from those things which I should not participate in. Discipline also gets you out of bed and gets you motivated to do something for the Lord. Again, to put ourselves in challenging, uncomfortable situations. You say, well, I've never taught anyone. I've never sat across the table and taught someone the gospel. Well, now's the time. I don't care how old you are.
I don't care how many years it's been. Don't excuse yourself. Challenge yourself. Put yourself in that situation where you have the sweaty palms and you're sweating bullets and your stomach's turned upside down and you're scared to death. Pray. Seek the grace of God. Go through that tribulation. The Lord will see you through. You know, that's how we produce fruit. It's by the doing, not just abstaining and becoming stagnant and not doing anything and just going, okay, I'm not doing anything bad. I'm not doing anything bad. I'm not doing anything bad. Turn over to Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 13 is a parable that is spoken. I want to just focus on verse 21. This is the seed that fell on the stony place. The conclusion is that for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Those that fell in the thorns, in verse 22, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and he becomes unfruitful. We would conclude that three out of the four of these soils responded to the gospel, and two out of those three were unfruitful. You see, you don't go through Bud's training and become a SEAL to just get a pin. Get to say for the rest of your life that you were a SEAL. No, it's time to get to work. It's time for the real challenges that you've proved yourself adequate, sufficient, prepared to undergo. You've made it through the pressure. So John is one of those individuals. I'd like for you to consider that fought the good fight, endured hardships, that we need to be those who realize that God is strengthening us, that we're always thankful, no matter how difficult it may be, that we're striving to always be better day in and day out, that we're never, never going to quit. And we're reminded that God is with us. Now, striving to be better every day. There's the motto of the army, be all that you can be. Are you? Are you doing that? I want to challenge you this week to be all that you can be. That you'll keep tying the knots. So John is at the bottom of this pool that's 14 feet deep. The instructor sees he's not tying the knot anymore. And he jumps in. He goes down to the bottom and he grabs John and he pulls him up. Gets him up onto the side of the pool. He motions the medics to come. He starts doing a sternum rub on him. That's not working. So he starts doing CPR. He starts doing all that he can. He tells John, come back to the light. He turns him over on his side, and John, after a minute and a half, finally spits out the water out of his lungs. And the first thing that John says is actually a question. He says, did I tie the fifth knot? Did I pass? And so the instructor says, you passed. He says, yes, I tied the fifth knot. The instructor gets his color back. Gets to keep his job because he didn't kill someone. And he says, John, let me let you in on a little secret. You didn't tie the fifth knot. He says, I didn't tie the fifth knot? How did I pass? He says, it's not about tying knots. It's about not quitting. And you killed yourself. You passed. Brethren, if you're not killing yourself in the service of the Lord, you weren't worth dying for. You remember, always remember, the Lord's already died for you so that you can die for Him. As Paul writes, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. If you haven't died with Christ, now water is ready. If maybe you've been waving the white flag,
it's time to break that flag, destroy it, burn it. It doesn't exist in the life of a Christian.
Return to the Lord. Continue to die for Him daily, because He loves you so. If we can help, won't you come as we stand and sing?
Why do you wait, dear brother? No, why do you tarry so long?